Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Bob Danker has joined us once again. Bob, you and I were together a few days ago where this matter of the Lord's table first came up in chapter 10, and now we're going to get back into it in chapter 11. It's a big subject in the apostles' writing, isn't it?
It really is, Chris. And I think in this portion of chapter 11, we're going to see something quite wonderful and mysterious about the Lord's table, something that is hidden here in the divine revelation, but it's open to us through this ministry.
I think an important reminder today would be, and again, as we saw yesterday in the program we had on the head covering, that Paul's focus changes between chapter 10 and chapter 11. The first 10 chapters were his dealing with this first group of problems where the things involved were mainly concerning the human life, human relationships, marriage, and quarrels between brothers in the church, and eating and all of these kinds of things, very earthly, physical, material, and human things. Now, from chapter 11, verse 1 to the end of the book, he's really focused on spiritual things, and specifically spiritual things that touch God's administration. That's going to be a very important point today, isn't it?
Yes, this matter of God's administration is a crucial matter in the Bible. God does have an administration in this universe for the accomplishing of his eternal purpose. And the church is very much related to this administration, as we will see in this particular broadcast. Without the church, God has no way to carry out his divine administration for the accomplishing of his eternal plan.
Okay, let's get to Witness Lee. Let me set it up this way, this first portion. Going back to the passage we touched the other day in chapter 10, in verse 21, he says, "You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the demon's table." So here are the references to the Lord's table. Now today, in chapter 11, where we are on the portion dealing with God's administration, this terminology changes. In verse 20 in chapter 11, it says, "When therefore you come together in the same place, it is not to eat the Lord's supper." So we have these 2 points we want to consider in our first segment today. Number one, why the insertion of head covering between these 2 passages talking about the Lord's table, and why the transfer or change in terminology, Lord's table and Lord's supper. For that, let's go to Witness Lee.
Paul was a good writer. In chapter 10, Paul talks about the Lord's table. He didn't continue. He stopped. He brought in another matter, the headship. Then after the headship, he went back to talk about the Lord's table again. This is not logical. What is the reason? He brought in a kind of interruption. Why in between these 2 portions, Paul wedged in the headship? Because chapter 10, his burden is to deal with the Christian life in that realm. Then from chapter 11, the realm changes. In the first 10 chapters, the dealing was with the Christian life. Now from chapter 11, he begins to deal with God's administration. In God's administration, the first concern is the headship. When the headship is honored, everything is okay. When God's headship is dishonored, then everything is wrong. So it is for this reason that Paul brought in the headship first. Then following the headship, he continues to deal with the Lord's Supper. In these two chapters, Paul gives us two terms. In chapter 10, he uses the term the Lord's table. In chapter 11, he uses another term, the Lord's Supper. There is quite much difference between these two terms. When we say we take the Lord's table, we mean that we enjoy the Lord in fellowship of Him.
Amen.
That is for our enjoyment. That is for our satisfaction. But when we say the Lord's Supper, this is for His satisfaction. This is for the remembrance of Him. It's a kind of neutrality.
Bob, rather than being an idle substitution of words, this is something Paul was very careful about, because the implication of these two terms, Lord's Table and Lord's Supper, matches the change in focus in these two portions of 1 Corinthians, doesn't it?
It does, Chris. After he talks about the matter of the headship, which is related to God's administration, Paul begins to deal with the matter of the Lord's Table. And in this section on the Lord's Supper, there are some solemn warning words of the apostle to the Corinthians. The reason is because the Lord's Supper is related to God's administration. The Lord's table, as Witness Lee pointed out, is for our enjoyment. It signifies, or it refers to, our enjoyment of the Lord in fellowship with Him and with the other believers.
Right.
But the Lord's Supper is in another realm. It's the same thing. The bread and the wine on the table, the same thing. In one aspect, it's the table. In another aspect, as it relates to the Lord and His satisfaction, it is His supper. So now we are moving into a realm that relates to the Lord Himself and His satisfaction. When we talk about the Lord's satisfaction, we talk about something that will make Him happy, something that His heart desires, something that He wants to obtain in this universe. So we get into something very high and very deep. When we touch the matter of our enjoyment, our personal enjoyment, this is not so deep. But when we touch the matter of the Lord's satisfaction related to the Lord's Supper, we enter into something very solemn and very serious, very deep and very mysterious. So now Paul has made this transition into the realm of God's divine administration. And administration is related to God's economy, which is in turn related to God's eternal plan. Something very weighty is being touched in this section.
Bob, we can't lose sight of this transition that's taking place here in focus from taking care of our human problems to dealing with God's administration and what God is working out in His economy now for the accomplishment of His purpose, as you said. And so we have this change in terminology from the Lord's table to the Lord's Supper. Another change comes in that's quite subtle. This matter of the body is brought up here in this passage. And of course, the body is a big part of the Lord's table and this remembrance and this discernment, all these things. In verse 24, he says, "And having given thanks, he broke it." Of course, that's the bread, and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do unto the remembrance of me." The body there, symbolically represented by the bread, no doubt referring to his physical body, which was given for us. Then if we come down further in the section to verse 29, it says, "For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not discern the body." This is the body in another aspect, as we will see in this next portion.
That's right, Chris. The first mentioning of the body, which you read there in verse 24, is a clear reference to the Lord's physical body, which was broken through His death on the cross for us. But this reference in verse 29 is not only a reference to the Lord's physical body, but even more to the Lord's mystical body, the church, which was produced through the Lord's death. So this is a clear shift here from speaking about only the Lord's physical body to now we're touching the matter of the church, which is the mystical body of Christ.
Let's go back to Witness Lee.
The Lord's table is for our enjoyment. The Lord's Supper is for His enjoyment. But then in chapter 11, out of sudden, in verse 29, Paul uses this term, the body. For he who is eating and drinking eats and drinks judgment of himself, not discerning the body. You have to realize when the New Testament uses such a term, the body, it denotes the mystical body of Christ. It does not denote the physical body of Jesus, which was crucified on the cross. No, no. I was bothered by this for quite a long time, because this is the Lord's Supper. It must be the body of Jesus. Listen, his physical body, which he crucified on the cross, is for us. In remembrance of the Lord, what we deal with is his physical body. The physical body of Jesus was given to accomplish redemption for us. That physical body has nothing to do with God's present administration. It is the mystical body of Christ, which is related to God's today's administration. Without the mystical body of Christ today, God has no way, he has no means to carry out his present administration. In other words, God's present administration is being carried out by the mystical body of Christ. What are we doing here? You tell me. As the mystical body of Christ, what are we doing here? Are we accomplishing the redemption?
No.
The redemption was accomplished. It has been fully accomplished by the physical body of Christ. Hallelujah!
Amen.
And today Christ has a mystical body.
Amen.
And this mystical body is not for accomplishing redemption. It is for carrying out God's administration.
Amen.
Baba, on the one hand, this may seem to many of our listeners as a very deep point, but on the other hand, I would just implore everyone listening to catch this. It's not difficult to catch. It's not impossible to catch, but the picture here, the view is just extraordinary to realize that in what God is carrying out, accomplishing on the earth in his economy, required first the physical body of Jesus to carry out redemption. But now what he is still carrying out on earth requires his mystical body, doesn't it?
That's right, Chris. God is going on now. After the Lord accomplished redemption by giving his physical body on the cross for us, God is continuing to carry out his divine administration for the fulfillment of his eternal plan. And in this administration, we all know that Christ is the head. Christ is the universal head. The resurrected Christ is the head over all things. But this head, in order to carry out the administration of God on the earth, this head needs a body. Just as a man, like all of us, we do everything through our physical body. Our body is the means for us to execute and accomplish everything that we intend to do. It is exactly the same with the church. As the body of Christ. The church as the body of Christ is the vehicle, the means for the Lord as the head to accomplish God's purpose by carrying out God's divine administration. So now when we come to the mystical body of Christ, we see something that is so profound that the church, the body of Christ, is essential, absolutely necessary for the accomplishing of God's universal administration for the fulfillment of his eternal economy. This is a great matter here we're touching.
We saw already a moment ago that the term Lord's table implies that part of the Lord's table or Lord's Supper that really incorporates our participation, our fellowship. It's our enjoyment that is represented here by this term Lord's table. And it's here that this remembrance is mainly focused on the Lord's physical body, because the breaking of that physical body on the cross was really what solved our problem, wasn't it?
That's right. It solved our problem by accomplishing redemption, and it also solved our problem by imparting to us the divine life, the life of Christ. So now we have something to solve our problem and to be our enjoyment and satisfaction. We have Christ as our portion. But now the Lord needs something for his satisfaction. And what he needs is the church as the mystical body of Christ so that he can accomplish his administration and achieve the very eternal purpose that he made in eternity past.
Bob, in verse 26, which we want to get to, help set up the third section, we really have a timeline that we would like to draw attention to here. Listen to this very short verse. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you declare the Lord's death. Now that's looking back from where we are today, isn't it? Back to this pivotal point in time in the universe, the cross. We are declaring his death on the cross. So in a sense, from where we sit today in the New Testament dispensation, we're looking back to the cross. Then this last three words completes the verse, until he comes, thereby looking forward to his second coming. Marvelous in this verse, isn't it?
Absolutely marvelous.
Well, let's go back to Witness Lee for our final portion.
Today, the top thing that can satisfy the Lord is the divine administration. If you just remember the Lord, you wouldn't care for his administration. He would not be happy. If you are going to make him happy, if you are going to satisfy him, you must say, Lord, while we are remembering you, we discern your body for your administration. While we are remembering you, we would never forget what you are doing there in the heavens today. You are there to carry out your administration. In verse 26, it says, for as soon as you eat this bread and drink the cup in remembrance of the Lord, you declare the Lord dead until he comes. What is his coming? That is his administration. His first coming is for what? Redemption. And his second coming is for what? Administration. Hallelujah. Have you got it? When you take the Lord's table, you care for your enjoyment. When you take the Lord's supper, you take care of his remembrance. And you take care of his administration. Do you really mean that you are giving him the best remembrance? If you say yes, okay, you have to take care of the body, the mystical body. It is the body, the mystical body today, which is the means to carry out his administration on this earth. And we are doing this until he comes.
Amen.
We are doing this to carry out his administration until he brings his kingdom back to the earth.
Amen.
Bob, in the written life study message, Witness Lee mentions that Watchman Nee was fond of pointing out on many occasions that the New Testament really unveils three things: the cross of Christ, the kingdom of God, and between these two, the church. We really see it portrayed here in this matter of the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper, don't we?
That's right. This verse which you read, Chris, verse 26, is very short, brief, but very full of significance. When we take the Lord's Supper in remembrance of him, Paul says we declare the Lord's death until he comes. We look back to his coming as a man and dying on the cross on one hand, and we look forward to his coming. What is it that joins these two ends together, his first coming and his second coming? it's very clear. What joins these two together is the church. This is a very profound matter.
And here we sit on the bridge today, and it gives so much more significance now to verse 29, which we read a moment ago, about discerning the body. That's really talking about discerning this bridge, isn't it?
It really is. Whenever we come to the Lord's Supper, we have to, as Paul says, we have to exercise discernment to discern the body. This means we have to discern whether the bread on the table represents the unique mystical body of Christ or whether it represents a division of that body. We also have to discern whether we are partaking of the Lord's table and the Lord's Supper in a way that is building up this body or tearing down this body. If we damage the body of Christ in any way, either by living in the flesh, for instance,
right,
or by causing division in the body,
right,
what we do is we damage, even destroy, the bridge between the Lord's first coming and the Lord's second coming. Without the Lord's body, there's no way for him to come back again. We have to see this. This is absolutely critical. So in our Christian life and in our participation in the Lord's table and the Lord's Supper, we must discern the body. We must do everything to take care of this body of Christ, which serves as a bridge between the Lord's first coming and second coming. This is what Paul is referring to here.
And your mention of the real meaning of the word discerning here is this table, the table representing the unique, mystical, and all-inclusive body of Christ. It includes all the members of Christ, irregardless of time and space. This has to be that kind of table with that kind of testimony, doesn't it, really, to be something that we can consider as being part of this unique bridge connecting the kingdom with the cross.
That's right. When we take the Lord's table, we are declaring that the Lord has died, and as a result of his death, he has produced a universal body.
Thank you, Bob. I enjoyed our time together very much today. Thanks for your help, and as always, I hope you'll come back soon. We love having you in the studio with us, Bob. For Bob Danker, I'm Chris Wild. Thanks so much for listening today.